Well, welcome into the Extra right here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, filling in for Shannon Brinius this week, and we've got a great show on tap today. Joining us from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, we have Jonathan Liebert. He is the CEO, as well as Ada Rodriguez. She is the Vice President of Development and Operations for the BBB here in Southern Colorado. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and there is so much to get into, especially with impacts to the business community and things to make sure that consumers are on the look for.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, well, let's begin. I know there's been such a large impact on small businesses, especially from COVID-19, and really comparing it almost to having two wars being waged, trying to control the spread and minimize that economic impact. It's a lose-lose, especially when you think about if you try to control the spread a little bit more, you're limiting businesses, but if you try to get businesses back up and running, that could be continuing the spread. What is the Better Business Bureau doing to look into this? What are we doing to try and help continue to balance this out a little bit?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is kind of a two-front kind of battle that's going on right now, and owners have to decide how do they balance that safety and health with making sure that the business is up and running and operating at whatever that full capacity kind of looks like. One of the things that we're absolutely paying attention to right now, in addition to just kind of numbers and some digital, things that businesses can do, is just trust in general is just something that is absolutely increased. And so at the Better Business Bureau, I mean, that's really what we do. We try to provide, consumers with good objective information to find businesses that they can trust. And in these uncertain times, businesses that people can trust on both those fronts of, are they going to do a good job? Do good work, and are they going to keep me safe? Are they going to keep me healthy? Are they keeping their employees healthy? That's really what a lot of this stuff is coming to. So for us, it's really about making sure that we're providing up-to-date information on our website, finding information about scams. We have some that we'll kind of talk about today to let people know about. But it really is a lot of the things that we are doing is creating more of this environment of trust and providing free information to consumers and businesses so that they can track and see what's going on with a lot of these things that are happening out there in COVID right now. There's just a lot to take a look at. And so we want to provide good information for them on our website at bbb.org.
Well, and I guess it especially is true if you're going to go out and do business in these troubling times, the businesses that have that more reputable streak, a better reputation would actually be the ones who are taking more serious precautions, keeping things cleaner, and doing better business overall. And again, you guys have such a great resource to check in with that. How many people would you say, or what's the response been as far as the consumers reaching out to the Better Business Bureau, wanting to know where some of these better businesses are that they can help, support as they're doing business right in the middle of this rebound in these definitely chaotic times?
Right. No, and absolutely, I would tell you that everything across the board has gone up significantly. I mean, even the website traffic to bbb.org has gone up. So you've got more consumers online looking and searching for businesses that they can trust. You've also got more people giving us complaint information or leaving us customer reviews. That could be a positive customer review or a negative customer review. But overall, we're just seeing a significant number of people just accessing our website, accessing services, engaging with us and trying to find out information on what they can do, who they can trust. Is this a scam? Should I buy this? I mean, there's a lot of questions that we're getting out there. And so absolutely we're seeing, just an increase in terms of website traffic and website visitation to bbb.org across the United States. That's gone up tremendously.
And I don't know if you have this readily available or not, but what are some of the largest complaints that the BBB has been seeing from businesses during, especially the last few months as we've been doing the COVID rebound?
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, one of the things that it was there before, but it's really kind of picked up now is kind of the work from home scams. Those are definitely something that you got to be careful for before COVID, but now everybody's kind of working from home. And so it's just a matter of, well, everybody's doing this now, so this might be real, or I could make more money, or I could add something else. Puppy scams have always been kind of a thing now, but as people decide to go and get dogs because they're staying at home with their families, you got to be really, really careful with that. There's a lot of COVID scams that are out there that could be for cures, for vaccines, for masks, for, obviously there's some stimulus that's kind of come down to businesses as well. Ada is going to talk a little bit later in the conversation today, specifically about COVID contact tracing scams. And so as people are getting calls to say, hey, you were exposed, there's a lot of legitimacy that goes with those. Unfortunately, scammers are taking that as an opportunity to scare you into giving up personal information. And so Ada is going to talk about how contact tracing scams is something that could be very, very, very much a big problem for consumers or for businesses if it's fake. And so we're going to talk about that as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's a shame that people always take these, you know, moments of tragedy, whether it be large weather events or national tragedies or any of these large impacts like COVID-19 to try and scam their way to make a quick buck or two off of someone who is just answering the phone and trying to go about having the best intentions. Now, I know the BBB did a recent survey, or a couple surveys rather, kind of looking at how businesses expect their impact to be felt. And I know starting in March, you guys said, 87% of businesses expected that they would have some harm to the company. And then now we're seeing maybe a little bit of a change as we've gone, you know, months and months of this so-called new normal.
Yeah, we have. And so we've done two surveys right now. So one we did back in March, and then the other one we did just a few months ago, and then we just got the results back about 3 or 4 weeks now. And really, it really was to kind of look at a couple different things. So the Better Business Bureau primarily works with small businesses. Small businesses are defined as 500 employees or less. I would go one step further to say the majority of people that we work with are what we call micro-sized businesses. So specifically here in Southern Colorado, about 90% of our 2,100 accredited businesses are micro businesses, which means they have like 10 employees or less. And these small businesses make up just the majority of the economy. And one of the things that, you know, we want to make sure that we're kind of tracking and watching is, you know, what's going on with them. I read something in a news article yesterday, I think it was Forbes, that talked about that right now small businesses are going out of business in a record fashion. But nobody really knows about it because they're not filing for bankruptcy. They're not in the news because they weren't a big company. Those are the ones that we kind of hear about. If a large company lays people off or shuts down stores, we kind of hear about it. But a lot of these smaller businesses, you just don't hear a whole lot of anything. They just kind of disappear. The good news is I was just on a call with the state Secretary of State's office today, and there's about a small net positive gain that we're seeing right now in the state of Colorado. There's a lot of businesses that are closing. There's a lot of new businesses being started. You know, just a year ago, there was just a lot of new businesses being started, and the number of new businesses in Colorado was at a record high. That's absolutely slowed down now. But I think the good news is that here in Colorado, we're still seeing a net positive gain. It's a small one, but, you know, again, you got a lot of people going out of business, and you got a lot of new businesses kind of starting. And so we do see some businesses having a little bit more of a positive attitude right now. As you mentioned, 87% of businesses said that they were worried about the harm. 71% now say that they are kind of worried about that same harm. Businesses are doing cost cuttings or innovating. A lot of these federal assistance programs help them as well. But I mean, obviously, like any business, cash flow is a problem, health and safety, meeting consumer expectations and demand. There are some businesses that did not have a strong online presence. They're having to get that figured out. As I mentioned earlier, global website traffic is up. Right now, what we're tracking is that global website traffic is about 20% higher than pre-COVID levels because people are just going online. They're purchasing things online. And if you had a really good platform online already, you're probably doing, you know, better than your competitors. If you don't have a good online process or platform, then you're going to be struggling a little bit more. So people that have the online presence have a much, much, much better rate of opportunity to just make money in this interesting times that we're in.
Well, exactly. And there is so much and still ahead here on The Extra. We know that there is such, you know, more online presence. More people are turning to online shopping, turning to everything online because there's no really anywhere else to go. And unfortunately, as more people go out there, so do the bad apples. We will touch on that and much more as we continue on with The Extra right here on KRDO News Radio. We have the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado joining us, Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez. I'm Andrew Rogers in for Shannon Brenius. We have The Extra still ahead here on KRDO News Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back to The Extra right here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. I am Andrew Rogers in for Shannon Brenius, and joining us on the KRDO News line is Jonathan Liebert, the CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, along with Ada Rodriguez, Vice President of Development and Operations. Well, Jonathan, before the break, we were discussing how so much of everything, good and bad, has gone online due to the pandemic, and yeah, we've got a lot of commerce. We've got everyone spending more time at home, naturally on the internet. And of course, that's where more nefarious action is looking to prey on people. What can people be doing, especially as we're continuing with more work at home and now at home schooling, to keep yourself and your family safe while online?
Yeah, I think it's really a matter of making sure that education is continually kind of being followed up on. I would just let, you know, consumers know that, you know, BBB.org is a great resource for them. We have a page up on BBB.org that just talks about coronavirus scams. And so I would just have people bookmark that in their web browser and just check it every once in a while. You can also, we have something called Scam Tracker. People can go to our scamtracker.org and look up information there as well. But you got to kind of stay vigilant with these times. And, you know, it is sad, as you mentioned earlier, that people do this. But, you know, scammers prey on fear and uncertainty. And we got a lot of that going on right now. You know, it's just a little bit unusual for things. There's computer scams. There's, you know, work scam. I mean, there's just so many things that are out there. People, sadly, get really creative as they do a lot of these scams. And so, but if you don't know what they are, if you're not paying attention to it, you know, then sadly you can get taken. There might be some new one that we've never seen before that people could get taken. So educate yourself, you know, do a little bit of research, find that favorite site that provides you good information. Like I said, BBB.org is one of those. And just kind of keep updating yourself on what's going on. Back to school scams are going to happen. You know, there's things that are going to happen with that. You got to pay attention to. So just make sure that you're aware. Make sure that you're doing some research.
And not to mention, you know, we are just 1 week out from a pretty bad hailstorm. We're obviously going to get the typical hail scam as well. Roofers, different kind of repair work for your home, scammers coming out of the woodworks, and all of those resources and more over at BBB.org. Another resource that the BBB does is helping to strengthen our small business community, helping to make them better businesses, which is obviously your bureau's goal, hence the name. And you've got 5 ways that you're helping to work on strengthening small businesses, if we can walk through that here in the next couple of minutes there, Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what we would recommend to our businesses out there is, number one, make sure you have a good business profile with us. Whether you're accredited with us or not, we would tell consumers, make sure you use an accredited business. Those are the ones that we have vetted. But even if you're not accredited, make sure you create a business profile so consumers can find you, so consumers can leave customer reviews on there. Number two, you want to make sure that you communicate with your customers. And this is the number one way that businesses are trying to build trust with their consumer base. They're trying to be transparent and responsive by making sure that they're communicating or over-communicating with customers. Number three, you got to embrace our 8 standards of trust. These are the cornerstones of any successful business, and it's the core of BBB. We've been doing this work for over 100 years, and so we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so our 8 standards really are there to, as you said earlier, help make your business better. So again, embrace those standards, embody them. Those give you and gives customers an added level of trust and confidence before and after they purchase. Number four, support your community. Businesses that reinvest and give back to their communities and commit to their customers and to their families are seeing more business. They're seeing more praise on social media and on the news. Whether you're donating money, that's great. If you don't have that money, a lot of people don't. How can you donate time or services or do something a little bit different or honor first responders or healthcare? There's a lot of ways to do this, but people that recognize that you're giving back to your community in these times are going to remember, and they're going to buy from you in the future. People are changing their buying habits right now to businesses that are supporting their community. And then the last one is this. If you can, if it works for you, get accredited. Consumers are looking for those accredited businesses because those are the businesses that we have vetted. Those are the ones that we have a good relationship with, and we can honestly say, do business with these people. And so that's why people are going to BBB.org, is they're looking for businesses they can trust. They're looking for those accredited businesses. And again, if you're a business, get accredited. If you're a consumer, use BBB.org. Either way, There's lots of services there. There's a lot of things we can do for you as a consumer and that we can do for you as a business. But make sure you're doing your research. Make sure you're using our website. It's free. It's a free resource. Check that stuff out to make sure you get good information on who you should be buying from.
And of course, that website is BBB.org. Well, we are coming up against the break. We're going to our local news break, national update here in just a few moments. But when we return on Caradio's Extra, we will be joined again with, we'll bring in Ado Rodriguez. It's been uncomfortable. I even experienced it yesterday, going out to eat, asking somebody for your name, phone number. It's like, why do you need that? Like, it feels a little bit weird, the whole idea of contact tracing, but it is becoming the part of this recovery, part of this new normal. And unfortunately, just like everything else that Jonathan and I have mentioned throughout the hour, that if it's something good happening, someone's going to find a way to make it bad. And there is new scams targeting contact tracing. We will dive into that after our news break here on KRDO's Extra. It is 9:27. Well, thank you so much for sticking with us here on The Extra on Caradio News Radio. My name is Andrew Rogers. I'm in for Shannon Brenius throughout the week. And we are joined by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. We've been speaking with their CEO, Jonathan Liebert. And we want to bring in Ado Rodriguez, the Vice President of Development and Operations, into the conversation. We've been talking a lot about scams, a lot about COVID, and now those two are intersecting in Ada. We're seeing a lot of contact tracing scams and people taking advantage of these new processes being put in place to try and help make sure that we are staying safe as we are out and about doing business in the community.
Yeah, thank you for having us today. So COVID contact tracing scams are, you know, definitely on the rise. I think most people don't even realize that there's such thing as COVID contact tracing. So I think that's the first thing, just to point out that it truly is an official role. Official workers have been hired by the health department and the state, different government entities, to trace the contact of people that have been infected with COVID. So unfortunately, this also presents an opportunity for scammers to pretend to be these important workers. As Jonathan mentioned earlier, during times of crisis and among vulnerable populations, it gives a great opportunity for scams to skyrocket, and scammers are creative. They wouldn't continue to be scamming if they weren't able to, unfortunately, have victims. And it's super important to just continue to provide information and educate the community. So we always appreciate being able to share this with the listeners. So essentially, the way this scam works, it's similar to how a lot of scams start, where a person would receive an unsolicited text, email, or social media. They can come through various platforms nowadays with the amount of time people spend online. Sometimes you could even get a pop-up. So it's just, you know, you have to be super vigilant to those. But the message just briefly instructs the person to isolate and provides them a link to click on for more information. So that link is very enticing to people because, one, it could cause them fear and anxiety, and they want to click and get more information and try to find out maybe who they were in contact with. So that link, of course, could provide very harmful malware in the downloads to your device, whether that's your phone or your computer. The link could also connect you to additional questions, kind of like a phishing scam, where then they're asking for more personal information, financial information, and then the scammers obviously use that to your detriment. And another version of it comes through robocalls. We all have had those robocalls, right? Sometimes they're asking for information. Sometimes it's a recording. You never really know what they're trying to get at, but this is unfortunately another way that scammers are trying to get a hold of people during this contact tracing. So they pretend to be a part of the contact and tracing efforts. And again, they start asking for mostly personal information. We have also heard that one of their first questions is asking for financial information, bank statements and things like that, which, you know, an official really trying to find out that your contact with COVID isn't necessarily going to need your bank account information. That's not relevant at all.
Exactly.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, besides the financial impact, which should be obvious right now, but that's a pretty heavy emphasis on should, as far as not giving out financial information to very, you know, unsolicited calls. But with a lot of scammers being so much more modern and sophisticated, what are some other ways to really tell the difference with this being so new, as you've mentioned, between legitimate contact tracing, trying to get that word out and find out if you, you know, either notify you or find out who else you've been in contact with, versus somebody who is just looking to take advantage of you?
Yeah, so a couple things that the BBB has identified as red flags is, one, the official contact tracer is going to ask to confirm your identity, your name and your address and date of birth, but not go into government ID information or financial information. They are going to ask you for the minimum amount of information because they do know that these scammers are out there and they really want to set themselves apart. They'll also identify themselves as being part of an official organization. That is super important if anybody receives this call, for example, to really clarify who you're speaking with. Ask as many questions as you possibly can. Ask for contact information so that, you know, you can hang up and potentially even call them back so that you do know that this is a legit individual. So it's most likely to be done via phone. That's the other piece that's important to note, that if you're getting these links, especially via text or email or social media, most likely that should be looked at as a red flag and shouldn't be taken seriously. Most of the work from what we're hearing is done via the phone, especially at least initially. You may get more information via email afterwards after you've kind of established the contact and spoken to this official. But you really shouldn't be getting a link that tells you that you need to isolate and click here for more information. And the other thing that I thought was interesting too, that's just a simple question to maybe ask early on in the conversation, is ask who you were exposed to. And what we've heard is that the scammers will come up with a name and kind of pretend as though they know who you were in touch with, whereas an official contact tracer would never reveal the name of the person that you came in contact with that was positive. That's not the point of it. The point of it is more just to inform people that you have been in contact and you should isolate and protect yourself, not necessarily disclosing the identity. So that's certainly a good question to ask early on so you can kind of weed that out. And then the other thing too, if you do get that link, I know people are very intrigued by clicking on a link. Do your research on the URL, whether that's via Google, checking Scam Tracker through the BBB.org, Stop Fraud Colorado, FTC. There are different websites where you can go and research these types of scams and see what type of URLs or phone numbers have they used in the past. And that's the benefit, again, of reporting the scam so that other people can see what you dealt with, and hopefully it prevents it down the line. But those are just kind of a handful of ways to tell that it's a scam. Of course, scammers continue to evolve, and there's always new ways coming out, but definitely a handful of the first kind of most important tips.
And of course, you know, we've discussed everything as far as how to see the scam, what the scam is, but still ahead here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio, we'll discuss what happens if you happen to become a victim of a scam. We have that still ahead on The Extra. I'm Andrew Rogers, joined by Ada Rodriguez and Tom Liebert with the Better Business Bureau. This is KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Well, good morning. I am Andrew Rogers, filling in for Shannon Brinius on The Extra this week. Joining us on the KRDO Newsline are representatives with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. We've been speaking with Ada Rodriguez this half hour, discussing all things related to COVID-19 contact tracing scamming. We've discussed what the scam is, and now, Ada, if you happen to realize, like, listening to us throughout the morning that, you know, yeah, I did that, I didn't know what exactly the contact tracing was, how in-depth it was supposed to be or not, and feel as if you might have been a victim of this scam, what should you do to rectify that and help make sure that you keep your information as safe as you can looking back into in retrospect?
Yeah, so there are a couple different things that we recommend. I think one of the first things we recommend is that you report it. That way, again, you can try to protect other people from falling victim. Whether you were an actual victim or if you just came across it and maybe you didn't click on anything, maybe you got the call and you hung up right away, I think providing as much information as possible on BBB.org Scam Tracker, I think also educating family and friends that these are going around, Letting the media know. I know that, you know, you guys do a fantastic job of kind of grabbing onto some of these scams that consumers are reporting and trying to educate more. And I think that that's really, really important. And Jonathan said it earlier as well, education is key, so that we can prevent this and kind of stop the spread of the scammers. So, you know, some of the other pieces, of course, if you give out financial information, you're going to want to contact your financial institution immediately. Kind of in that same vein, if you ended up clicking on the link, there's definitely a possibility that now the scammers have access to your financial information that may have been saved on your computer. So certainly contacting your financial institution then as well, letting them know what happened, but also a technology specialist, depending on kind of what you clicked on and how you got to the link. If you gave out personal information, you're going to want to keep an eye on your credit and anything else. You know, talk to the Social Security Administration. So unfortunately, it kind of depends on how far you go down that road with the scam, because initially, if you just kind of have a brief conversation, you don't give out any information, you still want to keep an eye on things because you never know how much information they have that they didn't disclose. But absolutely, if you actually give out that personal information or click on the link, you're going to want to move pretty quickly. These scammers, you know, like we've been saying, are quick and smart, and they know what they're doing. So I think just making sure that you're staying on top of your personal information and your financial institution is key.
Now, and you mentioned it before, I think warning your friends and family are definitely a crucial part, especially if you have, I don't want to paint a broad picture, but maybe some elderly family members that you're in more contact with, or
sure,
maybe may take more of a, you know, caretaking role, because they seem to be much more targeted almost, which is such a shame. But as you're talking to friends and family who may be skeptical of COVID-19 anyway, despite the data that is so prevalent, and unsure even more about the whole contact tracing information, what do you suggest as far as letting people know that, hey, these scams are going on, this is real, and, you know, how would you coach people to really make sure that they're getting that word out correctly to their friends and family with so much skepticism already built around anything coming up to do with COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are official ways to report it through, you know, BBB.org, our scam tracker, FTC.gov, as I mentioned, Stop Fraud Colorado. So I think, you know, there's that official reporting, which is just as important. But of course, there are lots of people that don't know that those resources even exist. And so they're not going to necessarily go to BBB.org when they wonder about a top scam, which is, again, why we're kind of having this radio show. But I think whether it's through your social media, even I've seen that, and I think that can be valuable. Of, you know, individuals just posting something, hey, I, you know, received this scam today, just beware. Some of the other platforms are through Nextdoor. I've also seen some great kind of alerts come out via that. But I think just having conversations with them and letting people know, hey, this happened to me. I think, you know, it's embarrassing when you're a victim of a scam. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to acknowledge it and admit it. And that is why the majority of scams do actually not actually get submitted and reported. And I think that, you know, by time they're submitted and reported, they've continued down this road, and sometimes they've lost thousands of dollars or more. So I think it's a normal thing to be approached by a scammer. So I think more than anything, we can normalize it by continuing to educate and just kind of admit when you were a victim or close to a victim, so that we can continue to prevent it.
Now, I know you've mentioned, you know, reporting to the BBB. If you happen to let some more personal data slip, maybe the Social Security Administration or your financial institution, is it worth, in your opinion, to reach out to either, you know, law enforcement or the county health department to let them know, hey, people are calling as you, people are impersonating your contact tracing efforts, and letting those agencies know as well?
It's definitely not a waste of time. What I will say is that, you know, the BBB does work with those entities as well, so that if it does kind of get to a certain level or a certain number of scams, we certainly work with those officials and inform them. Law enforcement, as you know, is very busy with a lot going on right now. So unless there's a huge amount of money kind of lost, law enforcement doesn't have the time necessarily to get super involved, I think it's always valuable to let them know. They actually have a department that works specifically on scams and fraud. So I do think that it's valuable to report it. It's, you know, not a waste of time by any means, but certainly going through some of these more fraud-specific entities like the Scam Tracker and FTC, they will make sure that they get that information out as well to those entities.
Well, this has been a fascinating hour for sure. Time has flown by. I want to thank Ada Rodriguez and Jonathan Liebert with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado for joining us here on KRDO's Extra. If you happen to miss any of this, we will have this episode posted over on our podcast section at KRDO.com. Just go to KRDO.com. Click on the radio tab and then down to podcast. You'll have this plus all the other great interviews we do through the Extra. Great highlights from the morning show as well as TED in the afternoon. We have all of that and more over at the podcast site at KRDO.com. We still have the Tom Martino show. He is up next, also helping to get this word out, helping to advocate on behalf of consumers and take out scammers as well. So we have Tom Martino, the troubleshooter, coming up at 10 o'clock after another check of national and local headlines here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM.